Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Well, we've got a bonus episode today. That's right. A good pal, friend of the podcast, my co-star in the Heat, Joey McIntyre, returns to the podcast because he's got a new show coming out on CBS called The McCarthys. It's about a Boston Irish family, and it's fucking hilarious. And it's CBS 9:30 on Thursdays following Two and a Half Men. Thursdays 9:30 CBS. You got to check it out. Joe is hilarious in it, and the show is great. Laurie Metcalf is in it, who played Roseanne's sister for a long time. Tyler Ritter, John Ritter's son, is the lead. A guy named Jimmy Dunn and Jack McGee round out the cast, and a girl named Kellen Coleman. It's hilarious. Joe stops by. We do it at his guest house in his lovely home in Hollywood, California. And Brad was still up in San Fran, so I went over to Joe's, and we had a little guy bonding time. There was some joking. There was some reflecting. There was some singing, obviously, and it's a great episode, and Joe's just a man. And if you didn't love him after the first one, you're going to love him even more after this one. So follow Joey on Twitter, at Joey McIntyre. Tweet at him, tell him you love the podcast. And of course, watch The McCarthys, 9:30 on CBS, following Two and a Half Men. Of course, follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. You can check me out. Where am I going to be coming up? Well, I'll tell you. November 4th, Irvine, California. I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv at 10 o'clock. Get your tickets at improv.com. And then New York, November 7th, on that Friday, I'm going to be at UCB East with my good buddy in front of the podcast, Brent Morin. I'm going to be opening for him on his night at UCB East at 8:30, November 7th, New York City. And then we got some other local gigs, improv, Laugh Factory, Comedy Store. Those are all on my website at adamraytv.com. The next headlining weekend I got coming up is December 4th through the 6th in Richland, Washington, at Joker's Comedy Club. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com for that. Brad Williams, he's got some shows coming up. He's finally breaking back out into the stand-up world and away from the radio world. Still doing the radio gig, obviously, Live 105 up in San Fran. You can listen to him every morning from 5 to 9 a.m. But he's missing stand-up, so he is slowly making his way back to that world. You can see him. When can you see Brad? This Saturday, November 1st, at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Fran, 7:30 and 9:45. And then Brad is headlining the Punchline Sacramento, November 28th, 29th, and 30th. And then, of course, December 11th through the 13th, Brad is headlining the Ontario Improv in Ontario, California. And, of course, we've got merch. Go to estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. We've got About Last Night shirts for guys and girls. We've got tank tops, shirts. Go over there. Get them. They're reasonably priced. They're comfy as shit. They've got our cool-ass logos on them. And support the podcast by wearing one around town. Also, support the podcast by subscribing on iTunes. Tell your friends. Send them a quick link. Tell them to download it. Tell them we got all these great episodes with Dane Cook, Whitney Cummings, Chris D'Elia, Brent Morin, Ron Funches, the Workaholics guys, Dr. Drew, Steve-O, Bobby Lee, and upcoming, we've got some killer guests coming up. In the next 2 weeks, we've got Steve Byrne, hilarious comedian from and the star and creator of Sullivan & Sons on TBS. We've got Melissa McCarthy. We've got Pauly Shore. We've got Rob Schneider. We've got Jeff Garland. And we've got Katie Dippold, a pal of mine who wrote The Heat and has just been tapped to write the new Ghostbusters that are pal in front of the podcast, Paul Feig, is going to be directing. So a lot of amazing guests coming up. You don't want to miss out. Subscribe, get it on iTunes, rate the podcast, give a little comment, and we'll climb the charts and take over the podcast world. Those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. Those are the upcoming guest announcements. And now, sit back and enjoy a very special round two of the About Last Night podcast with our good pal, Joey McIntyre.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
You want to wear them?
I don't know. Rolling, right? Are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Here?
Do you want to wear them?
Once you press start, it's on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I can hit stop,
no,
too.
No, it's fine. I like this.
Okay.
Because you want to make sure we're
I'll
on.
Go one headphone off just to be on your level.
All right, dude.
You know, let me take a sip of this juice first, Joe.
Hey.
Where's this from again? Let's give the
I don't know. Do we? You always give shout-outs, right? It's Goodwill, right?
I guess, yeah. Maybe they
I don't know. Unless we get, you know,
well, how about
something out of it.
How about
you don't
flavor?
Do it unless you're getting something out of it,
you're
right?
You're right.
I mean, let's be
Boy,
honest. Let's be
commercialized
real.
World has just gotten to you.
No, this place, Clover, my wife loves it. And
Can I be honest? The first smell, it smelled like a little nug of pot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Seriously,
though. Is this pot juice?
Yeah.
A little bit. The first,
yeah,
the first
some,
twist.
There's some green to this. Some ganj to that.
Now, what is the flavor? I'm about to.
This one is called Go Big.
Go Big.
Go Big. It's got beet, kale, carrot, apple, wheatgrass, lemon, and ginger.
Jesus. So
yeah.
Go.
It's got
go
3
big.
Pounds of produce in this thing.
I like that it's got the go big. Like, it's got, like, motivational slogans. Like, it's almost like Old Spice, the way they've got, like, swagger, you know?
Yeah, or, the new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The new stuff.
Well, yeah, you know what? I threw on the Old Spice.
What are you working
to
with?
Jump
deodorant,
on that segue there.
Yeah.
It was down below. Like, I ran out of my normal one and was on.
Oh, Jesus.
Lovely, isn't
wow,
it?
Wow, dude. A
Back
little
to
bit
the
of
juice. Hold on the old.
By
space.
The way, listeners,
yeah,
this podcast is going to be strictly yeah. juice talk and deodorant.
We're going to release a map to this conversation online before it's out.
Oh, dude, that's good.
It's nice, right?
Yeah,
dude.
I like a little bit of bite in my juice.
This
too.
Is big for me. I want you to know
why.
Because the 16 ounces, it's like $8.
Yeah,
that kills me.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
killing me.
Yeah,
it's keeping me alive. It's the healthiest thing I can eat,
but it's
but
also
it's killing
me
at the same time. Anyways, back to the Old Spice.
By the way, you just solidified your spot as not being the spokesman for
right.
it. It's cost so much fucking money,
dude.
But it's delicious.
They don't.
But it's killing
well, obviously,
me.
Yeah. They don't need my help
they
if
don't.
They're selling this thing for $8
yeah,
and it's working.
Do
people
they know are, you're buying it? I'm always curious with that with celebrities. Like, if you just walk in there and they see, dude, Joey Max
I'm not
drinking,
a celebrity,
Joey
dude.
Max going big.
There are no celebrities anymore. There's just dudes on the internet. You know what I mean? There's
wow,
just
wow, dude.
I mean, unless, I don't like that unless you,
right,
you unless
I don't,
you,
I don't like you that you look right at me when you say.
No,
I guess
I was
I'm the
thinking,
only one here.
You know what?
But.
You know what though? Because, I was talking about it yesterday, and I think that it's like growing up, like in the 80s. I mean, I'm older than you. I'm a chunk older than you.
Sure.
There.
Can I be honest? You look younger than
a
me.
A decade. Well, yeah, but you were born that way, right? I mean, you were born with a 5 o'clock shadow. I mean, you're just
yes.
a man.
Dude, I was
I'm
shaving
still
in the
a boy.
Sixth grade.
There's pluses to all that.
You have. I started shaving in the sixth grade. I don't even think you've started shaving it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're saving.
Honestly, I didn't have to shave till I was like maybe 17.
The money you're saving in razors, you're putting into your juice.
Exactly.
All right.
See, this it's a good trade-off.
Wait. So there's no.
So you talk. When there were just four channels on TV,
right.
which was less than, it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, not that
you know
long
what I mean?
Though.
Fox was like the big extra channel.
Yeah.
Now there's 500 channels.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just dilutes the fame game. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But when I was growing up, I mean, for instance, guest starring on our episode this week is one of the ladies from Designing Women.
Delta
Jean,
Burke?
No. No, Jean... Sorry.
The blonde one?
Yes.
Hilarious.
So
she's been working consistently, too.
Exactly. She actually had to fly to do
she's probably
something
still crushing
in Chicago.
It. She probably crushed it.
She's great. Oh, yeah. Designing. Yeah, Jean Designing
By the way,
women.
This is why I would love to know, like, Google stats of, like, I'd love to know how many.
Jean Smart.
Jean Smart. It should show you, though, how many other 90s pop stars are Googling designing women at this time.
Right.
Like, there should be something linked up to your Google stats being like, and it breaks it down and goes, how many people named Joey are Googling designing women right now?
Ooh.
How many people who sing? How many people, you know, who've, you know, got a great pool and a mini stage that they're not using to its full potential? You know,
you are. Think? Is it going to get that specific?
It's the internet, man.
Yeah, do it.
You can Google boobies and find whatever you want.
That's right. I love that you can Google any, like right there, I said Jean Designing Women.
And it popped up. It knew what you were
it
talking
was already,
about.
It pre-typed it.
Dude,
you know, it came up.
Bananas?
I love that.
like to talking about how that there's so many more options programming wise and diluting the fame as you were talking about. But like that to me is crazy that it's just now. Like I remember when I first made a mix CD and was like Napster was came along and I was just like, oh man. And it was like, oh, a song. I, hopefully I can try to find these songs that
you're stealing music. Yeah.
Can I be honest? That wasn't the first time I stole something. When I worked at a grocery store at Albertsons in high school, I stole deodorant and toothpaste.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? The first thing I stole was, remember those little, still probably make them, but remember the little plastic covers for keys at the end of the key? You know, little, they were right in the tray at the hardware store.
I think so.
Yeah.
A plastic cover for your key.
Yeah.
So you do.
I nabbed one of those when I was like 5 or 6, and I brought it home. My brother was like, what'd you do? I didn't know it was that cool, but until my older brother was like, wow,
you stole that? So that was the first time he looked at you and was like, oh, shit.
Wow.
All right,
no,
Joe.
We were both pussies. It didn't matter. No. It wasn't like I was gaining his respect because
you stole a key.
We were wimps. But diluting, for instance, Jean Smart.
Yeah.
9 in 10 people can pick her out of a lineup as at least that woman from Designing Woman or famous actress.
Yeah.
They can't do that anymore. There's just a bunch of people on shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we got McCarthy billboards all over the place.
Yeah, which is awesome, by the way.
Oh, it's awesome. That never gets old. I hate that saying. That doesn't get, you know.
Yeah, but how dope is it when you see a bus driving by your
place? It just happened. Today was my first bus, and I took a picture, and I said, should I Instagram it? I'm like, I don't want to overkill it, but I want to share.
But that's also extra press.
Yeah.
You got to know how many press. People follow your social media, and that's like you pumping it out.
It is fun. It's fun to share, and I do want to publicize it. In the cast, we were having so much fun because we were like, there's one here when they first came out a couple of weeks ago. And they were all over the place in L.A. But, you know, to sort of make that point, it's like, it's beautiful and wonderful. And you just want to work, you know what I mean? As an actor and a performer, you don't want, the fame is like whatever.
Right.
If you're working, enough said.
How many people do you think in L.A., though, that are trying to get after it do have that mentality? Because, like, I know for myself that my first 3 years post-college from SC and, like, trying to, you know, get integrated in the business, it was like, being famous was driving me. Because in my head, I was like, that means I'm working.
Yeah.
But it also means that, like, I'm proving to myself and people back home. You still have that in your head about needing to respond.
On your shoulder. Yeah. Yeah.
Not hoping that my role as the Cowardly Lion in fifth grade is, like, my claim to fame. You know?
Yeah.
Hopefully
I
can top that.
Right. Right.
And then, you know.
Hopefully that's in a retrospective, you know, on...
Where are they now?
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'd certainly had all that.
You went through that stuff.
But when I was 21, and I recently thought about it because I did a movie right when New Kids broke out. I got this movie called The Fantastics, right off the bat. But I was clueless.
Did you even want to do it?
I was the guy. Yeah, I wanted to do it. I mean, I grew up in theater and I wanted to get back. I was like, I should get back into acting. And, you know, it was that clueless mentality. I wasn't in my head. I didn't even have a brain to think. I was just like doing it, which is, you know, that, you know. So I got the part and I just thought, like, you know, again, I was... I had a manager, and he's like, I'm so glad you're editing this because I'm fucking, I think it's the juice. I'm like, fucking.
Maybe there is weed in this shit.
So I did this movie, and my manager gets, I think it was Esquire magazine or something. Right. They were going to do the 10 hottest new faces.
It wasn't Highlights because they had a time when they were like, you don't remember Highlights, the magazine that was in the dental office? Yeah, I guess you missed that joke. Let's go ahead and move on, Joe. Let's go ahead and move on.
You know,
that's why there's not too many highlights.
That had like crosswords and like, you know.
And the find the picture. Find the things.
And,
find 10 things and like a woman's like birth or whatever. It was a location.
Yes.
Find the 10 things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I get it. Sorry. I wasn't with you from the get-go.
Now there will
one.
Be editing done on this podcast.
Yes,
all right, so Esquire does a...
So, it was one of those magazines, you know, cool, you know,
Ebony
magazines. He interviewed me, and I remember where I was. I was at my girlfriend's house and whatever, and he's like, what's your dream? You know, what's your... And I said, I said, I want a billboard on Sunset.
Holy shit.
I want to be on David Letterman, and I want to be on the cover of GQ, right? Now, and I could, in retrospect, it's like, and even then I kind of knew, this guy, you know, legit writer is I could hear him rolling his eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rightly so, you know what I mean?
Sure.
He wanted, well, you know, I'm going to take a year off backpacking and do some Shakespeare and
figure out where I want to be.
Yeah, I don't really know, man.
Yeah.
You know? And
probably start a band in the woods.
But for me, that kid of like dream, the other side of dream. Now, he didn't say, what do you want to do? If he asked me, what do you want to do? I wouldn't say, I want to get a billboard on. You know what I mean? I'd say, well, I want to act. I want to sing. We'll see what happens. Da, da, da. But I remember saying that. And then, so I did have that. I think you want, especially coming from New Kids on the Block, this huge success. You know, you felt a little less than when it came down.
Yeah.
And we broke up.
Right.
And now, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah.
And you feel like, well, I can't be golfing right now. I should be acting or working, or I should have a
trying
job.
To keep it moving.
And so that ego thing that I could say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I remember going out and I wrote, yeah, I'm in a movie in the Fantastics. Yeah, I'm in a movie. And that for my ego was enough.
Yeah.
So, and then, I mean, but still, it took a while, even though I knew that was baloney.
With a movie?
No, just that feeling and that would satisfy
that was gonna be
my
enough,
ego and that they would even care what the hell I was doing, right? It's all between the ears,
right.
You know? So, but I feel like as far as getting back to, it's just having about, it's about working.
Yeah.
And the rest is like whatever. It does take a long time to get there, I think. So,
and you're there now.
And
you
got not,
that billboard.
But you're not there until you're ready. And of course. And there's a billboard on the billboard on Sunset is right in front of the parking lot of what was the Bellage Hotel that the New Kids went to all the time. And you couldn't get there. It was like that parking lot was filled with fans.
Was that like your spot
you guys went to? Exactly. You couldn't get in and out of
what
that
What was that
place,
like?
Right?
Describe that just for a moment to take us back there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but like people.
It was great, but I was. You know,
you're not even thinking.
I was
about
a kid.
Yeah.
I'm
you
like,
can't even process it.
Yeah.
You're like,
yes
I'm
no.
trying to get into the hotel.
No, I mean, at the time you think you are and you want to because you're battling everybody. You're saying you're just a kid. You don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, yes, I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
but
sure.
you don't. You're doing the best you can. You're having a blast. You're trying to be a good guy.
Yeah.
And hold your head down and get through it. You know what
Would
I mean?
Would you get grabbed, by, like viciously grabbed by people as you're trying to get through there?
Oh, there's all kinds of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, at the Bellage, but a few years after that, I come out here for an audition. And I remember for some reason I was at the Bellage and I went to the audition and I flew out just for the audition and it sucked. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember staying at that hotel. Here I am in this hotel alone where we couldn't even get out of the place without being swamped. I'm all alone, very lonely. I hate this town. Fuck this place.
No clover juice.
I ain't coming back.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Oh,
and
shit.
I did. I mean, it sounds very dramatic. I don't know what it was, but I just remember that thing. And
some like Petco.
And, yeah,
audition.
And I think we all have those moments.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Of course.
I mean, it's so cliche, but it's true. Because it happens. And I was like, I'm done. And I never came out here for a job again for that purpose.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I mean? And now to have, you know, a billboard over.
Dude.
Still doesn't mean anything. It's fucking paper.
Yes, it
but
does,
as far
man.
As the story goes. The story, it's that thing, you
it's
know
a
what
great
I mean,
story.
And it is cool, and I'm grateful. It's fun. We're having a blast.
You
on
have
the show.
To acknowledge those things, though. By the way, like the how that comes around like that, because having it be what you know that hotel like stands as a thing. Like it was like base camp for like you know like remembering when you were in LA and things were popping, and then you got to be there when things weren't popping, and now you see it again with your billboard when things are like popping, and it's. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That there's one spot that kind of holds,
right.
you know.
I do. I definitely think about it. You know, it's
if
like,
anybody should
you,
sponsor you,
cannot, you,
it's the fucking Bellagio Hotel or where it used to be. I guess it's now a parking lot.
No, it's the London Hotel now.
Okay, shit.
So there's a London entrance, and it's really kind of a block away from Sunset. So then there's the block, and it's actually behind the Viper Room. So there's a Viper Room parking lot.
Perfect.
Front of the London now,
perfect.
Bellagio.
All right, let's talk about the show.
Okay.
McCarthy's, CBS,
so, yeah.
Billboards everywhere.
Yeah.
I was just telling you how fucking great it looks from everything. They don't have any full episodes online yet because it hasn't premiered yet, right?
No.
It premieres?
October 30th, right. So Thursday, 9:30 after Two and a Half Men.
Dude, you can't have a better fucking...
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're setting
that,
you
that
up
block
to win.
Is, yeah, that block.
Tyler Ritter.
Tyler Ritter, Prince.
Laurie Metcalf.
Well,
let's just go down the line so we can really set this up. Tyler Ritter plays...
Tyler Ritter plays Ronnie
right.
McCarthy. He's the main brother, and he's probably the most sane of all of us. He's trying to get his act together. He wants to have his own life. We're very codependent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We like to do things our way. We're
Boston
very opinionated. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Laurie Metcalf plays our mother, Marjorie, and she's just... She's phenomenal.
Roseanne's sister, if you don't.
Yeah,
you
that's probably the biggest.
Name.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
but
is
she's
big.
Done a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
and she's now at, she's on HBO and us at
that.
The same time.
Dude, that's awesome.
She's
dude.
Got billboards for that. And
I feel like
know.
That's always killer when you got somebody like that that's like heading up to shows. It just makes people want to. Especially her. She's so like coveted. People always love her.
Yeah. And I, you know, I know why firsthand now. I mean, she's just so. She doesn't watch herself, too, by the way. Does not watch herself.
I heard that about Johnny Depp, too. Never seen any of his movies.
Hey, John, that's funny you say that. Here's Johnny now.
Well, the thing that I did, when I went on Letterman, I talked about that. I didn't do... I've seen scenes of Chocolat, but that's only because I was doing a Hershey's commercial and thought that I should know something about the candy.
Wow.
But I haven't seen any Pirates films or Finding Neverland. I saw a commercial I did for Quiznos back in 1994, but that's again because I was high, and it was the only thing on television.
Do you watch anything? Do you watch...
Yeah, I watch old reruns of Empty Nest and The Golden Girls on PAX.
Well, thanks. Hey, thanks for stopping by, Johnny.
Joey.
What a guy.
Joey's show inside of my podcast.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, he doesn't... I saw him on Letterman say he doesn't watch anything because he's like, what can I do about it now? It's already up in the mood. I'm just going to get angry that I couldn't change a certain scene. Like,
right.
I would have loved to have held the whiskey in the other hand on the pirate ship. But I can't do anything about it now. And Dave's like, so you haven't. Boy, you should see. There's some good movies you've done. And then he's like, I've heard. It was great, dude.
You gotta see this.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But that's a great. I feel like that's once you get to you have that much body of work. Yeah. Why?
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. Definitely. I see that.
I have apprehensions to go back and listen to sets of mine that I've taped because I know that I need to for, you know, if something happened. But I'm like, God, I'm going to. It's like that fear of being like hearing it and going, God, that's not that funny. And on stage, you thought that was crushing. And then I have this fear of like listening and going, you suck, dude.
It kind of goes both ways because you could say, hey, man, you can't change it. Let it be, right? And then on one side, it could be very confident. But then on the other side, you have the confidence to look back, not judge yourself, take the good, and also learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
So it can go either way. I get it. I get it both ways.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to see the episodes. Like, we've seen the pilot a zillion times already.
Just
I
want to
see episode two. Watch it. We'll watch it together.
Dude, that's going to be awesome.
That'll be fun. You know what I mean? Revisit it.
So, Laurie, then Jack McGee plays
Jack Laurie's, McGee plays our dad. Yeah. And he's
another classic actor who's just worked forever.
Ton. He's just done a ton of
and
stuff.
And so spot on, dude. It's like you watch some of these pros that have just been working for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that's why. Because you're just like you're always bringing it, and you're just always funny.
I call him Friday, you know, because we shoot on Friday. During the week, he just, you know, I'm busting his chops,
you know what I mean?
He's like, you know, kind of, you know, keeping his place there, you know what I mean? On Friday, he comes alive, and the audience just adores him, you know what I mean? So we get along. I mean, we all get along great, but me and Jack, I think, are, you know.
Did you know him prior to this?
We're brothers. He's either, you know, from another mother type thing, or, you know, he just got that. He's the best.
Yeah,
really funny. We sing songs with each other during tape night,
dudes. Yeah, who's Jimmy Dunn, who's also is in it, and plays your twin brother.
Yeah,
which is hilarious because I saw him one clip when he was just like, he comments about you guys being twins, and then you're like, dude, we haven't looked like twins from the get-go.
Yeah, right.
And then you point to a picture of two babies, and like both obviously babies, but one just like not even Photoshop, just way bigger than the other.
Yeah, massive.
So funny, dude.
It's funny, yeah.
You guys have a lot of jokes per minute too, man, which is another thing. It's like, and your setups, because multicam, which is what you call a sitcom, which we were talking about this before we started, is like, man, it's just tough to like really nail. You have to have great characters that like aren't caricatures of themselves. That's one thing that's spot on about this is like the Boston Irish family and the bickering and the dysfunctionalness. Which one of those?
The functionality. Well, if it was functionality, don't let the dis throw you off.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say functionness, you'd say functionality.
Functionality.
So dysfunctionality.
Right. My instinct was right.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be right back with more Joey Mack breaks down
phonics.
So, but everybody, like I was saying, just every like it seems nobody's. Yeah. You could have so easily have made these people like heightened versions of a Boston Irish family, and the bickering been like, because that's what happens sometimes in sitcoms, man. People
Too
much.
It's easy
to really hit the joke, and it's
dude,
like,
it's so easy. I had an episode the other week where I was having so much fun during the week going big with it. And then by Friday, I did it because thankfully, as actors, I just have to listen to the director, which is usually Pamela Fryman, who's so awesome.
What else has she done?
She did almost every episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Jesus.
And then like whatever. So yeah, she's an executive producer of the show.
Has she done anything though?
Yeah. But what has she done?
Yeah.
I heard only good things about her, like the best things. People were gushing. And of course, like, she's the best.
How much with somebody like that big of a track record, when they come in, do you kind of just give yourself over going, all right, Pam, you tell me? Or do you also go, look, I got this role for a reason, and I'm here for not just to fill space. So I'm going to
fuck you. Yeah. No. I think.
Henry Winkler told me when I first booked my only TV, like sitcom job, according to Jim, in 2007, which by the way, when I got this, I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
And then 7 years later, got the fucking heat.
Yeah.
That just shows you, if you're listening, the business. I still don't have my billboard yet.
Hey.
Above the London Hotel.
Let go of it. Yeah. And it will come to you.
But so Henry Winkler, I was like, I had gotten friends with him because his son was in my frat at USC, and I interned up for him on Hollywood Squares, and he became a little bit of a mentor. And he was like, I called him before. I was like, Henry, you know something about sitcoms, obviously. Any advice before I go tape? He goes, you're not there to fill space. Treat Mr. Belushi like an emperor. They cast Adam Ray because they love Adam Ray. Adam Ray is funny. He is smart. He knows what he's doing. He's got a pretty good bone structure. He's that 5 o'clock shadow.
That head of hair.
That head of hair is luscious. But he was just like, he's like, you're not there to fill space. If you think of something funny, say it. If you have ideas, say them. All the best. And like, that was his voicemail. Fucking wish I saved it. Anyway, point being, he told me, so cut to me on set one day, they're rewriting the ending of the scene.
Backfire.
Everyone's chiming in, and I was like, what about this?
Oh.
Dude, everyone looked at me like I just whipped my fucking dick out.
Yeah.
And they were like, why would you say something, man? And I was like, I'm going to be like, Henry told me to do it.
You know? Man.
But so with this show, I was a guest star. So
yeah,
like, you're regular. So like,
exactly.
There's got to be.
No, I think. First of all, the writers are so freaking awesome that it's not even a thought.
Just do your job.
You know, when we get out those ideas out, when we're rehearsing by ourselves and we go, oh, that would be funny. Or someone riffs about something.
Yeah.
You know, but no one has brought an idea to those guys.
Okay.
And they say, bring us your ideas. No, you don't.
You don't, right?
And again, it's because they're so great. You know, you got Brian Gallivan, who created it, who's hilarious. He's done a bunch of stuff, but mostly he did a lot of Happy Ending.
Nice.
He's writing on that. Mike Sikowitz, who's kind of the showrunner with Brian, done a ton of stuff. And then like 12 writers, you know what I mean? So they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you add to it by your take of things. And when you bring stuff to the reading and to the rehearsals, and you kind of bump it a certain way just by taking it, then that will kind of inspire different stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's
Kellen Coleman also on it.
Kellen Coleman is hilarious. A sweetheart, really funny and a pro and just kind of
fits right in.
Bangs it out. Oh yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's great. And Jimmy Dunn is great. And Joey Mack. And it is, but like I said, it's like you can't, it's very easy to overreact. Overact is because I get how shows can get that way.
Yeah.
And actors, because you're having so much fun on these things.
Because you are, dude, right?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is like 9 to 3.
Oh, God.
That's work, right? And the work is coming in and being funny,
reading the episode.
Trying to be funny, reading the episode, making a play. Every week we get to make
figuring
a play.
Out the blocking.
We get to play. They call it a play.
Yeah.
We get to play in a new show every week. And then you know, Thursday and Friday,
audience.
And for a live audience, dude, it's a joke. So it's easy to go, ah, you know, or da da da, when it's really supposed to kind of come down
a little bit.
Like
yeah.
Bring it in a little bit. You know, as they say, those cliche, like play the problem. That's what's funny.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I like, I mean, it's to me, my character's got a bigger chip on his shoulder than the other
You're
siblings.
A what level basketball coach again?
At the beginning, I'm a junior varsity.
That's right.
But things happen.
Okay.
You know,
I love that.
I might
though,
get
by
some
the way.
Breaks.
You've just always got a ball in your hand, and like
yeah.
you're such a big sports guy. And
yeah.
It's like, which is, it's cool too, right? To see like when you get this character, like how many things kind of match up with like you, right? I mean, A, like being a Boston dude, sports,
yeah.
like having a little bit of tude.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think. They say that about TV. I mean,
yeah.
TV is really about the personality, and you could take that as an offense. I say that to the other cast members, like, wow, they got this cast right, huh? You know what I mean? When they were a little bit too like our characters,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
dude, casting is so key, too, man. You see shows that live and die by the lack of chemistry or the people just going, oh, shit, man, we probably should have pulled the plug 3 weeks in and fucking brought back in, you know.
And it's...
You know, Ted Danson to play the dog or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
you know, whatever you're going to do.
And it's in the stars because they got Tyler Ritter at the last minute. They wanted him, but
say,
then
we
he
had
was
Tyler
out something.
Perry, and then we got Tyler
yeah,
Ritter.
Right.
Just
exactly.
based on name
Probably.
Association.
But that's the thing. And this kid is.
Unreal, dude.
He's so great.
He's a great glue to the show, too. He's the eyes of the audience a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And sweet and just kind. And
he is a Ritter, right? I mean,
yeah, John Ritter's his dad. And he looks more like his dad than Jason, his
yeah.
brother, who a lot of people know. Just he's done a more than Tyler. But he's got his moves. Like, he turns, he smiles, he's got his dad's smile, which
that's
is
kinda,
magic.
I was just going to say, dude, because dude. Ritter to me was, I can't even like put into words, man. It was just like he was so unbelievable and so had the it factor, man, but like times 10. The
yeah.
way he lit up, I mean, every room and every scene he did and
it's
movies
crazy.
And like just had something you wanted to watch all the time.
Yeah.
So to like, it's kind of incredible and awesome that his sons are doing it because it is like letting us still have a little bit of that. You
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
And then you get to like act across from that. It's pretty.
Yeah. No, he was, he must have been a great dad because
yeah.
his kids are just so nice, so cool.
The live audience thing, though, like so when you're trying to bring it in during rehearsals, but then once you get that live audience thing.
Well, yeah, because you have the crew and the people and you're laughing during the week and the other cast members, and you know what's funny. And then you come in and you do the crowd on Friday, and they're laughing at stuff you didn't really count on being funny. You know, so and then the rhythm is totally different. You know, you hit it, and then you get
just,
a laugh. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
it doesn't throw you off.
You learn to wait.
You know, you wait. So it's, yeah, exactly. You want to be like, ba, ba, ba.
But
you know,
can't
but
break.
It's like, ba, ba,
yeah.
hold, ba. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's literally like that. And but it's fun. You get used to it. But it's always that first, every Friday, you get used to it as the night goes on.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of scenes, you get back into that flow. But it's
yeah.
it's like, oh. Well, that's going to be a laugh now. So I got to kind of rework it. I've been doing it this way all week, but
and these live tapings. I think Jimmy was telling me. I just saw him. We were at watching football at Dane Cook's house.
Another
Boston
nice.
Guy, and he was telling me that you were like sing at some of the tapings.
Yeah, we do the first at the pilot. I ended up doing right stuff. So,
oh man,
yeah, it was fun. It was fun. We made
good number of new kids fans coming out, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a good bunch of blockheads.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
I mean, that's just like to have a built-in
Because, I mean, you
so
know,
blessed.
Because a lot of new shows, man, are getting people that are just like want to see a TV taping. If they're coming in already fired up, dude, what an advantage.
Absolutely. I mean, by now, I mean, you know, the show is great. But like I kind of knew on the pilot, like how lucky we were to have that. That charge,
fuck yeah,
and
dude.
Just going nuts, and it was just like bam, and that charge of energy, and because I know how lucky me and the rest of the new kids are, like I've seen it before, you know what I mean? We're like this quiet mass until you find out about us, and it's like holy cow, you know.
So you would come out and what, just solo, and just would the music start first? Or
yeah,
you...
I did some, you know, we shtick it up. It's real corny. It's like, you know, something about this crowd, something about this show. I don't know what it is. Jack, you know, and Jack comes out. He's like, what is it, Joe? And I'm like, you know, it's something. You know what? I think I got it. It's the right stuff. It's real corny. Yeah. So I do that. And then
Pans,
Jack does
bras.
It. And then Jack sings. And he does all the blues hits, you know, because he's from the Bronx in the
60s. Dude.
You know what I mean? In 70s. So he does all the blue shit, and he goes out there and kills them with, like, the doo-wop shit. And,
no shit.
Keep away from a run around suicide.
No
hey,
way.
Hey. Yeah, it's awesome. And they love him.
Acapella? Is it all this acapella?
No, we got tracks. We do tracks. It's a great break in the... Because we have our guy, Ron...
Who's the warm-up guy, yeah?
Yeah. I forget his name, his last name. But he's phenomenal. Sorry,
and
Ron.
If you don't know anything about TV tapings, they can get long.
They can get long.
Five hours. And the warm-up guy is essential because
huge.
He's keeping people, I mean, satisfied comedically and entertained with the entertainment that's happening. Because there are breaks in the action of them like trying to rewrite something real quick or redo the scene. And there's like those, the up and down emotional of just like, oh man, seeing two scenes back to back be hilarious. And then, hey man, 10 minutes is just going to, now there's 10 minutes of you guys just got to sit. And people do like to sit and watch you guys walking around and whatever. But then even after a few hours, they're like, all right, man, what else you got? Like,
big
you know,
time.
So the warm up guys got to do that. And that's why doing those songs is probably so great.
Yeah, it's a nice, we kind of do it like, you know, in the beginning of the fourth quarter, you know, and Ron's great. He's literally balances a ladder on his chin while juggling, like a huge ladder.
Dude, that's like NBA halftime show.
Dude, it was crazy. It's crazy. He's the best. It's just a blast. It's just like, you know, I just get that feeling of like, I remember we did the pilot and I'm like, you know, you felt the magic right away. He was like, I don't care. You know, you're not supposed to like count your chickens or whatever, all that stuff. I said, I don't care. I'm going all in with this one.
Yeah.
If this doesn't go, like, whatever. I'm not going to, like, you know, leave town. I'm just saying,
you can't
whatever.
Let your head go there,
I'm in.
Right?
I'm all in with this show. You know what I mean? We're having so much fun. And
well, dude, CBS has a solid track record with multicams.
Yeah.
The fact they're pairing you, that you have the director from one of the biggest shows for them ever.
Yeah.
Your cast is solid.
Yeah.
Like, everything, I mean.
Yeah, it's cool. Man. It's cool. And you get that idea, and they come over, and you do a joke, and then it works or it doesn't work, and then they come over with changes on the spot. You know what I mean? You get to, which is very exciting, because you're trying it for the same time. They say action, and you're trying to remember your line and this new thing, and you're hoping you bang it so it gets the laugh, and, you know, that kind of thing. And you just get the feeling that everybody in the room has wanted to do this their whole life.
Yeah, dude.
And they're... We're doing it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Which is the balls. It's just the balls. It's so much fun.
And a family like that hasn't been tackled, I don't feel like.
I don't think so. I think
Family
I think
Guy might be the closest thing to like an Upper East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. Like seeing, you know, and they don't even like really address the, you know, East Coast thing too much.
But. Yeah, we don't kill it. It's not like it is Boston, but it's not like over the top. And... You know, I think it's traditional like that. We haven't seen that dynamic in a long time, but it's also progressive in the sense that, you know, whatever we're talking about, politically correctness, putting our foot in our mouth, making mistakes, learning from it, but in a safe environment. Because I think people talk about stuff all the time with each other, sensitive issues. But if you're with your friends, like how many times have you talked to your gay friends and made some jokes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever. In a safe environment, in a loving environment,
1,000%.
It's okay.
Yep.
But we're getting to do that on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is progressive and I hope helpful in some way that, you know, it might sound corny, but like a family might be watching it.
Of course,
and it breaks
man.
The ice a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
because you're getting it from a family that maybe looks like they would be judgmentalist.
Right.
Like, there was one scene, it was, again, great, man. Like, I was, the jokes per minute, man, and, like, the vulnerability from every character, too, and not being over the top so that I feel like I'm actually seeing a dad with his gay son, so, and their exchanges are, you know, with a laugh, with laughing, and, but, like, what do you say? He goes, it was a flashback to him coming out, and he's like, I'm gay, and she's like, I'm gonna get a drink. Lori Metcalf, so I'm gonna get a drink, and he's like, 10 a.m. having whiskey, and the dad goes, hey, we didn't judge you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so funny.
Huge.
And, like, not a great joke that, like, still addresses like that, but doesn't be like, hey, man. It, there was nothing. There was no negative connotation about it.
Yes, it's like people laugh at that. It gets for the pilot that gets one of the biggest laughs.
Yeah,
because it's a release. It's not only funny, but it's like, oh, we can laugh about that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, which is cool. So, but yeah, you gotta. I'm glad you're talking about taking it down because you really gotta. I gotta remind myself that, and again, you got directors and producers and writers that are gonna tell you that.
Oh,
so you just gotta trust that they're gonna tell you if you're.
Oh yeah, and the live aspect of it does make it feel like a little bit of a play.
Yeah,
and that's why you do bring it up a little because I remember when I first got to SC and was coming off of musical theater. That was my acting. So it's like we'd be doing a scene, some like you know Mammoth, just really just close, intense shit, and I'm just coming off playing the Tin Man and the Wiz in Shoreline, Washington, and I'm just like, you know, is that where the table is going to be tonight? My teacher's like, hey man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, there's nine of us in this room right now.
Yeah.
We can hear you. You don't need to raise your face that big.
Yeah.
Unless you're having a stroke, then we can talk about that.
Right.
And so it was like learning to like bring it in and but also. With the live audience and the like, and you wanting to hit a certain joke, there is a balance between maybe like pumping up certain moments a little bit and not getting so real that you're like, "Hey, we're not doing The Departed."
Yeah,
like we are still doing a comedy.
Exactly.
So October 30th, 9/8 Central,
9:30 October 30th, 9:30
CBS.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be fun.
I think we'll do an episode or a pod every season.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
The fuck.
Season two, we'll do one.
That's it.
Season three, I mean, we'll do it in between for the holidays.
How long has it been since I did your?
The first time you
it's been
now
about a
two-timer.
Year, huh?
I think so, man. It was shortly.
You
after.
Remember? I know you get so many guests and shit. Where's your friend there? Where's your buddy?
Yeah.
He didn't come.
Brad,
wasn't big enough for him anymore.
Brad was that like a little person joke? I wasn't big enough for him. Nice, dude. Shots fired, Brad. No, Brad's hosting the San Fran morning radio live 105 up in San Fran. Give it a listen.
He doesn't come down for anything.
He comes down every now and then. He'll come down.
Oh, for some people.
Down for Melissa McCarthy.
Oh. So he comes down for Melissa McCarthy, but he doesn't come for my podcast.
He felt.
I understand.
He felt jealous, you know, that he didn't get to come to my improv show and sing on stage. He felt.
Dude, can we talk about
Let's
that?
Talk about
oh my
that.
God, we haven't
Joey
even
Mac.
Spoken about
so
that.
So I headlined the Hollywood Improv.
Holy cow!
On September 27th.
That was a great night, dude.
Thanks, bro.
That was a great, great lineup.
Yeah, it was a killer lineup. All my buddies were on: Jessime Peluso, Andrew Santino, Adam Devine, and. I invited Joey as a pal to come have a good night.
Oh my God.
And with no intention of ever, and you know that by the way too, that I, you know, I, that's,
oh yeah.
Cause, Jaleel White was there too. You know, Urkel from Family Matters and he was bummed that he didn't get to come up on stage and sing at the end. So basically at the show, I had my buddies do stand up, then I did about 40 minutes, and then I've been doing this thing, you know, the musical improv, and had Jeff Scott from the Comedy Store playing the piano, and I would sing some bits and then do some crowd work, and there was that thing with the guy and the werewolves t-shirt and whatever, and that was some fun banter, and it's different, right? I mean, it's like, just to like
improvise,
it's loungy.
You know.
It's just all
I think
about
as,
being...
as an actor and a performer, I mean, you've done it all. You can do set after set.
Right.
But that's the kind of shit you want to...
It's a different skill set. I want to like really...
You want to jump in.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, you want to be afraid, right?
Yeah.
You want to fucking...
1,000%,
yeah, because otherwise you want to feel alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's uncertainty. And when you... Because even singing the bits, it's finding the beats of and it's so much listening with the piano player and being like, yo, there's going to be a moment where we crescendo up on a punchline that could get a bigger laugh, but then knowing to drop it down and sing a little softer on some setup. And so with the crowd work portion, it's just all off the cuff. And so basically, Joe's in the back, and he had a couple of drinks.
A couple of drinks, yeah. I think a couple of margaritas across the street.
Some Zimas.
And,
I think you brought a 24-pack of Zimas in. That you were...
something else going on that night, I think, too. And,
I walked by, and wow. I was like, you said, you made a joke, because friends of mine were telling me, they were like, yo, one of my buddies who works for the Improv, and he saw you on the guest list. He goes, is Joe going to go up and sing? I go, no, man, he's just coming as a pal, and I'm not going to ask him to. He's like, hey, man, just ask. What's he going to say? No?
Yeah.
And I was like,
right.
Yeah, man, but I don't want him to think that, like, that's why, you know. Yeah. But then I was like, yeah, I guess, like, so then when you texted me at the restaurant and you were like, we're getting ready to head over, hey, man, I've had a few drinks, I might hop up on stage with you. So then I was like, all right, now the gate's open.
Oh,
so that's
God.
Why when you showed up and I was like, would you want to go up on stage? And you were like, maybe, man, let's just see when we get to that moment.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, you don't have to be a dick about it. And then,
well, no, I was like, yeah. You were like, do you want to? I was like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Do you? And you were like, yeah. It was one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get to that moment, and dude, it was just so great. And then I called you out, you came up, people went berserk.
It was, I mean, I was, what I was trying to, what I was, I had my mind to say was like, it's a fucking stage at the Improv.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of shit went down there. You know what I mean?
Comedy clubs in the world.
Yeah. And like, here we are. And that's fucking cool on a Saturday night. I mean, you know, obviously kudos. And
it was fun,
you know,
right?
But for that moment, I was like, fuck, you know?
I'm getting to do something on the stage.
Yeah,
totally
the stages.
Original.
Like, you could say this, and it sounds weird, but like, in the performing world, obviously, there's like Madison Square Garden or the Apollo or, you know. But
the Hollywood Improv is on par.
But it's like, yeah, it's like that thing.
Carlin,
all the people that
Leno,
came up.
Robin Williams, all, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Came up there.
So I was like, I was trying to get out. I don't know if I said it. Is there tape of that night?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you.
And I was like, I think I said this is hollow ground or something like that. Okay, okay. Because I was out of it. I don't
know what
the fuck.
I think that's what you thought you said, but you literally just went,
yeah.
Good to be here. And it was like, all right, man, just sing and like, let's get this over with.
Yeah, I don't know what I was saying, dude. I'm glad.
It was incredible, though. We had, we all harmonized on one moment.
Yeah.
It was a couple really spot on moments, dude.
And what was who was the
Andrew
other guy
Santino,
that was
up?
Okay.
My buddy, the red hair.
That's awesome.
It was, and then we all started singing about the wolf shirts, and then you said something at the end, and I'll get you that clip, man.
Okay,
I kind of want to.
Sir,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
Another big piece of news: star on the Walk of Fame.
Yes, sir.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's special. I mean, normally with new kids stuff, like you, anything that has to do with Boston, it always tugs at our heartstrings, and we're like, oh, Boston, and we get all teary and wimpy, and you know, nostalgic, and wow, and. But this is one of those times, you know what I mean? And it's great. It's great. I mean, it's nice that we're relatively young, you know what I mean? And they're not, you know, doing it, you know, at the end of our lives. Yeah. It's just cool. And
what was that whole,
we get along
how's
great.
That whole experience like? I mean, they have, usually
well, they,
people speak at it, right?
Yeah. We had Arsenio. Arsenio.
Okay,
yeah.
Dude.
Arsenio.
What's the significance there?
Because when we were coming up in like 89, 88, 89, his show was like taking off.
Yeah.
And so he was like a big talking head and just stepped right out in front of us with New Kids. In front of the line was like, yo, New Kids are the shit. You know, he'd be with the crowd and be like, let me hear some New Kids, you know, and they play the right stuff. And like, he loved us from the get-go.
That's
so
incredible.
We had someone cool like
this is
pushing
a guy
us.
Who has had Eddie Murphy and Michael Jackson on his show at the same time, and he's coming out just being like, yo, this is the group to listen to.
Exactly. I mean, he was hot, you know. And
so what did he say at the
it was classic Arsenio, just out there, hard on your sleeve. I love these guys. You know why we love them? They make us happy. They make us happy, you know. So he was just like unabashed, you know, fan, and it was great. It was really sweet.
And you put your hands down, right? You got the pants.
Well, no, you don't. You do that at Man's Chinese. You don't. You mean the cement thing?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the Man's Chinese theater.
That's right.
Chinese Man's theater.
Where is your star then? Who's it next to?
Backstreet Boys.
Nice.
And right next to the Osmond Brothers too.
Nice.
So they got a theme going over
there. You guys know a nice little
but
department.
But where it starts at La Brea in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So we're and right at that there's like this little
strip mall.
Yeah. Not a strip mall, but like if you're coming up La Brea and you take a right on Hollywood, there's like a island.
A little crosswalk.
There's like a little crosswalk, but an island in the middle.
Yeah.
With like a statue, and that's the beginning of
that's
whatever.
That's Popstar Island.
Is that what they call that?
Well, you said a few in the
Well, no, it's the king. It's a bit, because right there in that little island, we're a little bit down. We're like, you know, 100 feet in from there. But on that little island rotary type thing is Elvis and the Beatles.
Oh,
you know
shit,
what I mean?
Dude.
So that's kicks it off.
Dude, that's bananas to
and,
think about. By
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nice to be recognized. The best part is that we get along. You know, we have a good time. You know what I mean? And
did you guys all talk, or did you like sing, or did it just?
Donnie spoke.
Yeah.
And we all just, you know, soaked it in, and it was nice, man.
Fans came
out. It's cool. It's a nice,
hell yeah,
nice
dude.
Thing. Yeah.
It's. I mean, you forget too that we do this because we love it, and it can become a support system for your life. But also, hey man, to get recognized along the way is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Also, with stuff that you're, I mean, because you guys are going to tour again, right?
Yep.
But it's not like you're doing it like you were when you first came up, and it's like tour, album, tour, so nonstop to where so for it to still be like. Sporadic, and then people see like, "Yo, man, you guys are still the shit."
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. And again, it's like, you know, it's one hell of a niche. If it's a niche, it's if we get to play arenas in that niche and do what we love to do, and like, it's just incredible. It's just
well, it's just step by step. You guys have had the right stuff.
That's right. We've been hanging tough for a long time.
I feel like that's something you would do with, like, Meredith Vieira on her show.
Oh, I'm going to do her show next week,
are
actually.
You?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're making the rounds.
I am making the rounds.
Is that fun?
Yeah. I mean, sure it is. Yeah. You'd fly around and, you know, talk about your TV show and, you know, go out to dinner afterwards.
What's the difference between, like, Meredith Vieira and David Letterman?
Oh, I've never done Letterman.
Got to make that happen.
And I haven't been on the cover of GQ, so I'll let you know when I'm. Yeah. Well, Letterman's on the way out, so I don't know if I'd even if I'd be lucky.
It's a CBS show, dude. They got to make dude. You would just
yeah. I'd like to see at least, you know, Laurie Metcalf or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a great sign that, you know what I mean. The show is that hot that because Laurie is just she's awesome.
She's
I mean, we're all showing up and doing our thing, but she's the best. So
no,
I'd like, you know.
No Letterman, but maybe if you just want for a few minutes, you can be on Leno for a second if you want.
Really?
So Joey McIntyre, here's my guest, Joey McIntyre, and I'm still doing my show. And we're not on the air anymore, but I go to MSNBC, but we'll see. The Google Dolls are here, too. Stick around for coming up. But Joey McIntyre, a new show, The McCarthys. It's going to be you and a fam, a Boston family. Is that right?
Yeah. You're from Boston,
hell
too.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Great. Oh,
so,
all right.
And MSNBC,
yeah? Sure. So the family, you play a son. You're a T-ball coach. Is that right? Is that what it is? You've got the
skeletons
in the closet, a little bit of a drinking problem? Yeah. The Google Dolls are coming up here.
No, that's the wrong storyline.
Sure,
sorry, right. Jay.
Well, thanks for coming by, Joey. We're really looking forward to the show.
Thank you.
Best interview ever.
He's not on MSNBC, though.
They're talking about him going there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. He's never going to stop, man.
No.
Some guys just can't stop.
He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't
he's
care where
it
is or who's watching.
No. Dude, he's more cars.
Do you know he makes parts now? He has a garage and all his cars, and he has
sense.
Machines that make parts for his antique cars.
He's got a little
for real.
Car
he's
factory.
That crazy. Yeah, he's like they. I don't know what you call that thing.
Dude, that's baller shit.
Like a metal presser thing. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what the same thing they used to for the grilled cheese things. That's
right.
What they call.
Yeah, it's like that, but for like carburetors.
Do you have like what's your toy? Like when you first like what are your toys? Like when you get a nice.
Hey man.
You buy them for your kids.
Me and my little lady lay down and. You know, that's when the toys come out, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
No, that was awful.
No. We're going to put some...
But that wasn't as bad as what I first thought. That wasn't as bad as the first answer I thought of. My toy, I don't have toys. I mean, my kids get all the shit around the house, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's crazy.
But we're you not treat yourself every now and then to be like, you know what, Joey Max getting a jet ski tonight. Or Joey Max getting a Papa Shop basketball machine for the...
Listen, you know what? And then I stop and I say, I sing songs for a living. I'm on a, I'm on a TV show. Like, what I get to do is have a beautiful, nice house.
Wow, dude.
In L.A.
In an area. Yeah.
And then we got a little place back in Boston for the summer.
Right.
So I try to spend it. You don't blow it on like the three cars. You try to make, you know, decent investments, I guess. But, you know, that being said, knock on wood. I mean, I try not to live outside my pay grade. You know what I mean?
Smart.
Yeah.
That's how you stay afloat.
Because you never know when it's going to stop. And I got three kids, and I want them to go to good schools and all that jazz.
And have razor scooters and cool fluorescent knee pads. And
that's right.
And, you know, the
play hockey. Oh, my God. I mean, alone.
Deal.
Dude, you're talking $100 alone a week for
the fees.
The fees
the
of
ref
the
fees.
Classes. The classes and the fees and the this and that. You know, that's just one kid. You know,
I can't even imagine what my mom, single mom, did with all my basketball, baseball. I want to do it all, Mom. I want to take singing lessons. I want to croquet. I want to, you know, take karate and taekwondo. And she's like, fucking cool. I'm only one woman. I can't work 1,000 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, bitch, but I want to do all this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I was I talked very, you know, we had a good back and forth.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I mean, and it sounds stupid, but I think things were more inexpensive than cheaper than
for sure.
People didn't do it as a I don't know.
There was more also and there were more ways. I don't know if they still do it, but like you know, selling candy bars to pay for uniforms.
Right, those big, you'd have a big box,
dude,
of candy,
a huge
big,
box,
huge.
And guess what, dude? I was a fat kid, so I was like, hey, no problem. I'm gonna sell the most candy bars every season.
So you had to get a job to buy the candy bars, or
no? I would just take care. I'd make my mom, she'd have to pay for them.
Oh.
Because we'd take them and she's like, you gonna go sell your candy bars? I'm like, we're gonna have to get another box. And she's like, what happened to the box we brought home last night? I'm like,
man,
you might want to chuck under my bed because there's a couple of Reese's peanut butter cup wrappers that need to be picked up.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. One time I got chased by a dog in the neighborhood. I was going to sell candy, which as a kid, it's like a lot of these adults are suckers for the kid selling candy. Especially if you're a fat kid and you're selling candy, people are going to feel bad for you. They're going to be like, this kid needs a uniform. Probably not going to be a standard uniform. Probably going to be a double, triple X. Yeah. You're going to need a little bit more money. A little more fat.
Spandex is more expensive.
A little bit more fabric. A little more stitching is going to have to go into this. And but I was in the neighborhood, and I went out one day, and it was raining, and I didn't want to do it. My mom was like, you got to do this. Like, you got to instilling, like, hey, got to get some work ethic going.
Nice.
Like, you know, and so I go out there, and there's this dog. It was known as the crazy dog in the neighborhood, like Cujo. And, right, isn't that the crazy dog?
I think so,
yeah. It's not Benji. Benji was a sweet dog.
Cujo's from Pink Panther, right?
I think so.
No? No, that's the...
Oh, wow. Welcome back to Joey's Never Seen Cartoons.
Oh, God. No, someone called my dog Cujo the other day.
Cujo
was
like,
the guy on the Pink Panther?
Maybe Cujo was Benji's like alter ego when he like got really fired up about something.
Anyway, so you go out and
I go out there and this guy, I go to this house, the guy who was known for being like, you know, mean old Mr. Withers, who just never liked he had a sign on his door that said no solicitors. So I'm out there, right? And I'm like, hey, Mr. you know, Withers or whatever his name is, and little chub kid, and I'm like, you want to buy some Reese's peanut butter cups so I can, you know, have batting gloves? And he's like, what? No, of course not. Don't you read the sign? Can you read?
Yep.
Is what he said to me. Can you read? And I was like, yes, I can, man. And he just slammed the door. It was like, no candy, not today. It was like the guy in The Wizard of Oz. Remember when they were like, hey, we'd like to see Oz. And he's like, not today, not know-how or whatever.
Wow.
Slams the door. And then I look over and that dog is just chilling in the yard. And we just had a stare down. And I was like, I think this dog wants to chase me right now. So I'm going to slowly start walking. Every step I take, that dog starts going. So then in my head, I'm like, dude, at some point, just make a break for it. Indiana Jones style. You got to get, this boulder's coming. You got to get away from it. I just take off. Dude, dog just sprints after me. I start screaming and crying and bouncing and jiggling and drop my candy. And the dog chased me all the way down the street, probably 600-700 feet to the front door of my house. And I slammed the door. And there just was this like thud as the dog like hit the front door. He like the dog was gonna come into the house. Isn't that crazy?
Screen door or like the main
door? No, like the main door.
Wow.
If it was screen door, he would have gone right through that thing and eaten me whole. Anyway, our guest has been Joey McIntyre on the podcast.
Before we go, I want to think of what
a few more minutes.
Yeah, what was
you were going to Google Cujo, right?
Yeah, hold on,
dude. Again, bringing it back, dude. See, designing women and Cujo.
No,
hashtag
who was the guy,
things Joey Mac Googles.
Who was the guy that he would fight with?
Cujo? Who would Cujo fight with?
Yeah. No, who would the Pink Panther would fight with?
Pepe Le Pew?
No. You know the guy when he's on the handlebar, the parallel bars, and he's flipping and he falls down the stairs, and they would beat the shit out of each other.
Jesus, Pink Panther and...
you know what I'm talking about? Your listeners do.
Dude, the 90s, I was on a lot of pills.
It was the Pink Panther.
Pink Panther. Who did he fight? Who was his nemesis? Is that what we're trying to figure out?
Yeah, no, he was kind of...
Was it Gene Smart?
He was on the... Gene Smart. He was his buddy, but they hated each other, and okay. They like almost practiced beating
the shit
out of each
other. Had like a Tom and
Jerry
type feel, huh?
Yeah. Surprised it's not on here.
What are you Googling? Pink Panther?
Yeah.
Sidekick?
Maybe there's two of them. I don't know. Sorry, man.
It's all good, man.
We're going to edit this. It's going to sound great.
No, we're going to leave it in, dude. People love the raw talk.
The bad stuff?
The bad stuff.
Really?
This could be the stuff people remember.
All right. I hope so.
This could Your writers could be listening, and they could write this
Let
into
me tell
an
you
episode.
This. Did I have the least amount of listeners out of any of your podcasts?
Are you kidding me?
All right. That's good. That's all I want to know.
Joe.
Hey, no, I'm not trying to. I don't want to sound like I'm needy, and I want you to give me the real numbers, and that was just a setup. I don't.
Joe,
I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just but saying. I'm just saying.
You,
I didn't want to be the last.
Top two of our most downloaded and listened to.
Oh, wow.
We've got, you know, over 100K people. It's a lot of, dude, a lot of feedback, too. People loved it.
All right.
People love you. All right. So October.
Thanks, I hope I haven't
seen
like
billboard.
A total
that ain't enough.
Dick today. I know. Have we talked about the billboards?
Yeah, dude,
any?
We have.
Enough?
We have, man. Real quick though, I just want to talk about the shrine of Joey Mac's den
it's
that we're
not
in.
A shrine, and we're yeah, in. Dude, we're got, in my guest house.
You're in your guest house,
thingy.
But you got like a lot of cool.
My guest house is just a one room thing. I don't want people to think it's like a 3-bedroom guest house or anything.
There are pinball machines and stripper poles.
No, they're not.
And beanbag.
But this
chairs.
Is where I put all my crap that I wouldn't put in my house. You know, like stuff from that would be you know. From growing up. And,
you're a big art guy, too. You like cool pictures.
That's the old man right there when he was probably 19, 20 years old.
Love it.
Used to love Madonna. Had a big crush on her. So
the Apollo? Did you guys ever play there?
We did. That's where that was a big moment, man.
Oh, shit.
No shit, yeah. Five white guys singing their asses off for the toughest audience
All black
in the world.
Audience?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, what was that like?
Well, not only, yeah. I mean, But we started in Boston. So many people don't realize this. Not that they care to, but we were always the minority. We came up singing R&B music, and so we did the talent shows and the kite festivals and the community stuff, and it was for all urban audiences, you know, all black audiences. So we weren't like a fish out of water, you know what I mean, when we played the Apollo. We were ready, you know what I mean? And
you've been in front of an audience. Like
yeah, but it was the toughest audience in the world, right? They were famous for like pulling them off, and we were kind of like a special guest, but that didn't matter. The place went crazy.
What'd you do? What was your...
We did Please Don't Go Girl.
Nice.
And we did Right Stuff.
Dude. Brought the house down.
It was so... I mean, we... And, you know, the guys... I was 15 at the time, so I didn't totally get it. But everyone else was like 18, 19. They were all crying backstage because we had done it. You know what I mean? The whole thing. You know what
shit.
I mean? It was like... It was a huge moment for us.
Like,
you know?
Did you guys just find out I stole another Key cover?
Is yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wow. I did it. Is that no?
That's amazing. But how many years later is it like explained to you? Like, dude, the Apollo was a big deal. Like, do you right? Like, I'm a, since in the, as 15,
I got it. No, I mean, I got it then. I got it then. It was just it wasn't like to me as I would say. You know, it's like a stage is a stage is a stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
So I loved it. I love to do any game, but like, and I got it, the Apollo, and then we went back actually about 25 years later. We were doing some press a couple of years ago, and we went back there and. Man, it was, we got chills, man. It was really a beautiful experience. It's quite a place, man.
Will it be on this next tour? Look at all these gold records and fucking Jesus,
yes.
man.
Yes.
We'll be on the next tour because you guys are going back, right? Didn't you say like next
to the Apollo?
Yeah.
Oh, but New York!
Another New Kids tour, right? You were saying like next spring or summer.
Yeah, we're
in the works.
You know, it's, you know, nothing official.
Okay.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, yeah,
don't,
for sure.
Don't, all right. Don't get me on the hook, and all right. You know, this guy's calling me, busting my chops. No, I mean, we haven't done our last tour,
yeah,
so we
got to
figure out the timing and what's the right deal. You know, because we've been so lucky. You plan as much as you can.
Yeah.
But you never take it for granted. You know what I mean? And then every tour, it's like. So far, the fans have just shown up, so hopefully we'll keep being able to do that.
I'll tell you where I'm showing up, one of these boat cruise tours.
Oh, dude, that's a whole nother ball of goodness.
Oh, man, just a lot.
It's crazy. And finally, people are going to kind of get, at least see it and get a better look. I always, you know, forward people like the sizzle. We do this one-minute sizzle for each year to promote the next cruise of what it was, and people you look at it and it's nuts. It's
madness.
It's
like spring break for people in their 30s and 40s.
Yeah. And they look great and everybody's getting it doesn't feel like over the hill at all. That's the cool thing. And the minute it doesn't feel current and still cool with the nostalgia,
you
it's like
tell.
I don't think we're gonna you totally can.
You'll be able to tell. If you guys are doing the right stuff dance and someone's pulling up with a hammy, and that's caught on tape and goes viral.
Boom. It's true. That sounds funny, but that's when it's gonna end, you know? it's great. So actually Donnie, and you know, we're producers, but Donnie's the executive producer of this show called Rock the Boat.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's A&E. No, it's I forget what channel.
AMC?
But, no.
PAX?
No, I don't think it's a PAX thing. but it's great. It's like 8 episodes, and it follows fans around. It's really from a fan's perspective. But to
going
see this
on the
place,
boat tour,
yeah,
dude, that's what a great idea,
dude. It's I mean the footage that we have is it's really it's so much fun. It's
what
just
if it's
a party.
Just 8 episodes of you guys at the pizza bar at like 6 a.m. Right? There's always a pizza bar on
not.
The cruise.
Yeah, I know.
I hope not.
No, we go hard.
You said that
we
like there is that
wanna,
footage out there.
Yeah,
I hope it's.
We want to make it the best 4 days of the year.
It's a great idea.
And so we really. Pull out all the stops, and you know we're nervous because every year we're like, how are we gonna outdo it? And we just show up and try to plan some fun shit, and they're ready to have the time of their lives, and we try to give it to them. It's good. It's
well, I'll be fun. There. I bought a new 2-piece,
dude. For real, come. Year. I know you're a busy guy, but dude, if you can fit that in,
oh come on, man.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll bring a couple. I'll bring like 6 dudes.
Dude, I had a couple of buddies that came on
for real,
dude.
Because I feel like there's enough women there.
They
so
were like,
they probably
were doing two-a-days,
some...
dude. It was two-a-days. I'm just saying. That's the information I got back.
I can't wait. Thanks for doing the pod. People
Thank
love you.
Sir.
McCarthy's, October 30th, 9:30.
I feel like our first
CBS
pod was much, I don't know. Is this okay?
Dude, you're in your head, man.
Is it okay?
This was great. This was
I'm
great.
Way in my head. It's all
Come on, man.
I'm kind of a rookie with this podcast.
You're
thing,
killing
man.
It, dude. You keep it moving.
Keep,
you got a good amount of funny. You,
right.
you dropped the info. You,
okay.
You, we plugged a
we
couple.
Had juice.
We had juice.
You going to finish that?
Yeah, I'm going to drink
fucking $8.
Busting I mean, my balls.
I'll put that on ice in a second. I'll have it for breakfast.
Oh, dude. It's, yeah. I feel like you can't drink this with like food. You got to just.
Yeah. You got to. You do got to sip it.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I want a cheeseburger, though, after
1,000%,
you know, because I'm like,
dude.
Let's go.
In-N-Out and a Clover, go big. Well, it does say go big. Maybe it's insinuating,
right.
Yo, go big with your meals. Like, this is what you start with, but then you look
we get
down.
It.
It's like, go big. Like, is this all you're going to have?
Totally. Let's do it. Let's hit it.
People probably think we're so high the way we're, like, breaking down juice.
I wish we were high,
and
dude.
Googling.
I really wish we were.
We spent 9 minutes.
I'm all out.
Come trying to figure out who the Pink Panther sidekick was.
Your listeners know. They know who I'm talking about. I don't, but.
Hit up Joe on Twitter at Joey McIntyre, right?
At Joey McIntyre. Yeah, I do the Instagram thing a lot, too.
What
That's kind of my
Instagram these days.
What do I post?
A lot of selfies.
No, I'm not a big selfie guy, although I know the fans, you know, the peeps like them, you know?
Yeah. Every now and then you got to drop one. Maybe drop one on set sometime.
What do I do, though? Let me see what I did last. It's, I don't, oh, you know what I did? I did
a little video?
I did a video, yeah, check it out.
Play into the mic.
You'll appreciate it. Hold on. Hold on. Oh, shit. Oh, it's okay. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah. You can play into the mic?
Yeah, you can. Let's see.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
So that's incredible. Basically, that video was he showed a star of Elvis, then the Beatles, and then New Kids.
It was my first, I couldn't wait to walk and have a nice walk.
As a civilian?
Yeah, because I live close by. I was going for a run, and I was like, oh, I'm going to see it. So I kind of did, walking along and seeing the different stars, and then, oh, my God, like, we have a star, too.
It's a different feeling seeing it like that in contrast to all the chaos when you first get it revealed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
Did anybody stop you and go, hey, you look like...
No, two girls stopped and took a picture and noticed the Backstreet Boys star, but not me.
They asked you to take a picture of that one?
Yeah, I just kind of hid, but yeah. Different demographic, you know what I mean? They're a little younger. It made sense.
Yeah.
I like those guys, too.
They're good dudes, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We toured with them a couple of years ago. It was fun.
Yeah, that NK, what was the name of that?
NKOTBSB. A
lot of letters in that name.
You know, when the letters, it's golden when the letters link up like that, you know? The, yeah.
That was
so
incredible.
What was I going to say, though? Shit, man. I don't know.
Instagram. What you post on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Instagram. I mean, it's wild. Like, people always say, like, I don't know how many followers I have, but, like, I was looking. Someone showed me this guy. Shout out to, the Fat Jewish?
Yeah.
You know this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just wild to me. Like, he posts something, and it's got, like, 67,000 likes.
Bananas, dude.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. The things that, yeah.
And I go, it's an easy target, but like, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
She's got 3 million followers, dude.
It's not fair, man.
And she's still doing.
She'll post a picture
she's
of
She's still doing the private plane pictures from that people don't do anymore. Like, you did that in like 2003.
Yeah.
It's frowned upon
now.
Get
with the times.
You know what I'm saying? But she's still doing it. She's in Ibiza. Here I come, Ibiza. And there was a picture.
Never heard any dude friend of mine do a Paris Hilton Ibiza impression.
And the picture, she's the DJ now.
Oh, God, what?
Dude, and she's got the, like, blinged out headphones, and she's like, whatever. And I didn't want to beat it up, but, like, so wanted to repost and say, like, we've officially jumped the shark with the celebrity DJs.
Yeah, man.
Like, officially.
That's crazy.
But that's what she does.
And people will hire her.
Tons of money. The South of France?
God, dude.
She won't do it over here. She's done. She won't get anything over here.
The only way I would hire Paris Hilton is in her contract, it would be like, yo, every like sixth song, you're playing Hanson's Umbop, okay? And the first 45 minutes, you're playing nothing but New Kids and Key Sweat.
Boom.
And then we're bringing it home. We're bringing it home.
With My Prerogative.
Thank you.
So, you know what I mean? And we're done.
And we're done. And you can get your check and go back to Ibiza.
You know, but I'm a fan. I'm not one of those like, oh, how dare she? She shouldn't be one. Because I think what she did for a few years was brilliant.
I know, man.
She might not know what she's doing, but it was brilliant for a while.
Yeah.
She could not miss as far as
I watched. Her learn how to cut a dog's hair.
Yeah, that. And, of course, Nicole Richie made a career out of it.
Yeah, dude.
And, it's just wild how... But she was cool. She had that College Junior commercial eating the cheeseburger.
God, man. That's how you know you made it, by the way. Like, if you're a hot girl, aspire to dribble some ketchup down
your cleavage.
It was great.
It was great. I get like, that skinny little white girl, she ain't got nothing on her bones, whatever, the whole thing. And you can just take... She's an easy target.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when I saw her guest DJing, I said, wow. Anyways, that's my Paris Hilton rant. Sorry.
She hasn't sung the national anthem at a Pats game. That's what she
hasn't done. That's right. I did that. You keep it simple. You keep it simple.
That was great, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. That's on my bucket list for sure. Like,
nice.
In my hometown. Like,
hell yeah.
I want to sing it at a Seahawks game or a Mariners game. For sure, dude. That seems just like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got dolls, you've got billboards, but sing it, like, that seems like, I don't know if it's better, but it just seems like that's That's a very coveted moment, man. A handful of people get to do that.
No, it's cool. I mean, singing the anthem is, you know, it's obviously a privilege, yeah. You know what I mean? But then it also gets you in the game and on the field.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's
you know
the
what I mean?
Biggest thing.
God bless America, yeah. But great seats. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like,
dude, 1,000%.
God
yeah,
bless
yeah.
the Red Sox.
Oh, we got
God
free popcorn down Patriots. Here? Cool, man.
Yeah, hey. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. Yeah, my son was with me.
Yeah, he was telling me how he got to meet Gronkowski.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I mean, we were right down on the field, and it's a trip. But you got to keep your head in the game.
Yeah,
you want to start low enough so you don't. You got some room so you don't go too high at the end.
I was going to comment on that.
Keep it simple.
You kept it in a safe octave.
Yeah, yeah. You got to.
What if you just come out of the gate so nervous?
You're done.
And you just.
No, I know.
Boy, the way, but, hey, you just lost a job as my national anthem coach for when I sing in Seattle.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you come out of the gate nervous and immediately go high, like, oh, like, I mean,
yeah.
Because you were smart.
You gotta, like, transpose it halfway through.
Because the song sets you up to win. You know, start low,
yeah.
Finish high.
Yeah. It's the only thing, if you start too low, you get that second
people can't
line.
Hear anything.
Well, if you go, you can go, oh, say, can you see? Ba da 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 da.
Those aren't the words,
right?
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But what you got to watch out for is da 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 da. You don't want to go too low here.
Yeah.
That's not too low here. So I started high enough.
Could we bring it back up here?
And we keep it way up here.
Because we know that we're going to keep going.
No, you're coming,
oh, wait,
down
coming
right
back down here.
Here. And that was a really good break because we're going to bring it back here. Take a nice phrase right here.
And bring it back up to the top. These are great scenes. Oh, man. That's how we end.
So that's it.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.